Thank you very much, choir, again for that beautiful number. And we want to thank Sister Patty and Brother Tony for playing the instruments tonight. Brother Loxley on the PA system. At this time, it's my pleasure to call on Brother Freddie for the message this evening. Brother Freddie.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and good evening. Good to see such a lovely number tonight. Jesus was born in Bethlehem that men might be born again. That's the message of Christmas. That's the whole reason he came, that men and women and boys and girls might be born again. The trio sang as well, that name has power from sin to free us. We're going to be talking about that wonderful name tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. There's no name could be compared with his name. Matthew 1, just one verse there, and everyone's familiar with that verse. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Turn over with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And verse 11. Luke 2 and verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, its name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. One last scripture, Isaiah 9 and 6. We're all familiar with that verse as well. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to each and every heart gathered tonight. You probably got a card this year that said something like this. If our greatest need had been information, God would send us an educator. But you know that was not our greatest need, was it? And I'm not knocking education because we need it to get along through life. But that wasn't the greatest need. Instead, the writer went on to say, if our greatest need had been technology, God would send us a scientist. And we feel as if we could hardly make it today without technology. Just take the computer system away from us today. Or for the fishermen here, just take away the GPS, the Global Positional Service. We hardly could make it. But you know that was not our greatest need? Technology. The writer went on to say, if our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. And you know, it's hard to get through life without money. I remember a whole colored guy, and he was a friend of most of the people here in the island. He used to go around collecting bottles, and we used to call him Bottle Man. And concerning money, he said, you know, it was no disgrace to be poor. He said, but it's a sure setback. We need money. I know his last name is Mackey. I can't remember his first name. But that's not our greatest need was money. You know, and if our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. We live in a mad pleasure world today. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. Just the past week, I came over in a ferry boat with a young man. He said he was from Tarpon Bay. And I was witnessing to him. And he said he never knew the Lord. And I got down to the end and said, yes, it is pleasure in sin, but for a season. I said, but you know, it's pleasure in heaven forever. And I was about to ask him, what's your choice? He said, I'd rather have pleasure in heaven forever. How about you tonight? You know, the choice is yours. Either for here, for a season, or up there, forever. Our greatest need was not information. Our greatest need was not technology. Our greatest need was not money. Our greatest need was not pleasure. But our greatest need, friend, tonight, was forgiveness. And God sent His Son to be a Savior. How about it tonight? Have you ever received that forgiveness? It's available. God has given you just one more day before Christmas. Another year will be gone to Christmas again. You've had opportunity after opportunity. What have you done about it? It's your choice tonight. It's your choice. Behind every name, there is a story. Who gave the name? What does the name reveal? Does it reveal the individual? You know, names in God's Word teach us lessons. Take, for instance, Jacob. The angel asked Jacob, Jacob's name meaning supplanter, cheat. And the angel asked him, angel of the Lord, what is thy name? And until he admitted what it was, he was still a cheat, a supplanter. But when he was willing to admit, my name is Jacob, I'm a cheat, he got a name. Israel. Prince with God. Friend, tonight, if you're willing to admit that you're a sinner, you could go out this door tonight with a different name, a saint. But you've got to be willing to acknowledge that you're a sinner, lost on the way to hell. If you're willing to acknowledge that and acknowledge that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sin, and you're willing to ask Him to forgive you, you could go out of your saint tonight. But friends, we're here tonight to talk about that name, which is above every other name. And that name is what they've been singing about all night, is Jesus. That's the one we call to talk about. That wonderful, wonderful name. What's in a name, you might ask? The wisest man apart from the Lord Jesus that ever lived said this in Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver or gold. A good name conveys the idea of a good reputation or character. And I think as Christians, we should always display that. Because others are reading our lives. You see, he says it's better than silver. It's better than gold, the wise man said. It's more precious. It's more powerful. It's more enduring. A good name. The Lord Jesus had that name. That's the one we're offering to you tonight. The wise man again said in Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the just is blessed, is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. People still call their sons Paul today, not Judas. How many people in this island named Judas? You see, the name of the wicked shall rot. I remember some men of God down the years that's been passed through this assembly. It's like the scripture said about Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. I go back to Brother Courtney Sawyer. I remember that man. I would pray on a Thursday night. I remember him getting up in the Sunday school and quoting an old chapter. I remember his life as I saw him every day. He lived a godly life. I remember men like Brother Leslie who lived across the way. When he would pray nights, he would kneel down about four seats down to pray. Godly man. I remember men like Brother AC. Even wherever I go today, all over, people ask about him. A good name that display Christ. And then Brother Donald has just recently gone from us. I remember him as a man of prayer, always the first to pray. How could I forget my daddy? A godly man. A man who gave his life for the cause of Christ. A good name. Christian, tonight I challenge you to live a good name. A good life that would display Christ to the world. They're reading us. They're not reading the Bible. They're reading us. The wise man said again, a good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. See, how could that be? Day of death better than the one's birth. I think if we concentrate on our death, it will cause us to live a good name, have a good name. We've just seen it today. Friends, it's only what's done for him's going to last when they put us here. They bring us here and put us in that casket. And it's soon to be over. Life at best is very brief. You're here today and used to say gone tomorrow. No, you're here today and gone today. But that one we're talking about tonight can give you hope, can give you peace. Tonight we want, as we speak about that wonderful name, I want to suggest that there's dignity in that name. You shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. There's dignity in that name, I say that, because his name means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. It's dignity in that name. And there we read that not only of his name, but we read of his mission. He shall save his people from the sins. You know, that's my key. That you and I might be saved from our sin. Jesus, Joshua. A Joshua took the place of Moses. And thus for us what the law could not do, in that it was weak. Christ has redeemed us, as I said this morning at the Lord's Supper, from that curse, by being made a curse for you and me. He said it's dignity in that name, and Paul, writing to the Philippians, expressed that. He says, at that name, every knee will bow. See, it's dignity in that name. We're either going to bow here or we're going to bow up there. I believe those who go out of this life without Christ, when they see before them in a moment of time their whole life displayed, they'll fall on their knees. When they look at him as a judge, they'll fall on their knees and cry out for mercy. It'll be too late. Why not bow in time? You see his dignity in his name, and you will bow one day. But that verse goes on to say, God has highly exalted him. God's given him a name which is above every name. It's dignity in that name. There's no name could match his name, because God is the one who has exalted him supremely and given him that name. He emptied himself. But God hath exalted him. Men, while he on earth crowned and gave him a crown of thorns, but God has given him a crown of glory tonight. It's dignity in that name. And that name is above all other names. Paul went on to say in that chapter, there's no name could compare with him. King of kings and Lord of lords. The choir or some of the special selections sometimes sing is just something about that name Jesus. Every knee will bow. And friends, the way up is down on your knees. I trust if you never confessed him, you will tonight. There's not only dignity in that name, but it's power in that name. It's power manifested in that name. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's power in that name. It's only in that name you could be saved. Through Jesus Christ and him alone. The Lord said himself, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. All power is in the hands of a risen Lord tonight. He's the one has authority to give eternal life. You know, it's a matter of whether you want to receive it tonight or whether you still want to reject. But you know, it's not only dignity in his name, it's not only power in his name, but I want to tell you tonight, it's salvation through his name. Matthew 1 and 21, he shall save his people from their sins. I want to take a moment and look at that. The need of it. The need of salvation. Why do I need it, you might ask tonight. Friends, if you were to turn, we had time to turn to Romans 3, and we don't have time to turn here. 10 to 19. It tells you why you need it. It says there's no one good. There's no one righteous. We've all gone astray. He says your throats are just like an open tomb. Your lips are poisonous. Your mouths are full of cursing. And there's no fear of God in your hearts. 14 accounts Paul gives. The Lord Jesus said, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, and so on and so on. You see, friend, nothing that defileth can enter heaven. That's why you need it. The need of it. Because you're sinner. But look at the fact of it. It's through his name. 1 Peter 2:4 says, oh, his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Well, I want to tell you tonight, he had no sin of his own. It was our sin why he was on that cross. With no one to help, with no one who could help, alone, he takes my sin and yours. How could you turn such a Savior like that away tonight? Who would leave heaven, come to the sinful world, and go to a cross and be willing for a holy God to place on him the perfect one, your sin and mine? Only God. How could you turn? The fact of it, it's through him tonight and him alone. I read a story recently about a little girl who once begged a famous preacher to visit her dying mother. Come and get my mother in, she says. The preacher followed the little girl to her mom's house. He sat by the bedside and began to talk to the lady about the example of a good life that the Lord Jesus lived. She says, that's no good, mister. That's no good for the likes of me. I'm dying and I'm a sinner. You see, the minister didn't think it was good to talk about the cross and the blood of Christ. After the young lady's mother had said this to him, he remembered how his mother had taught him the story of the cross and Christ dying there for sinners. And he told that young lady's mother that story. She says, now you're getting to it. That's what will get me. And now you're getting to it, the cross. And she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The preacher went on to say, it got her in. Says, and it got me in too. Friends, I got news for you tonight. I'll get you in too. If you're willing to come. And trust him. The need of it. We all in need of it. The fact of it that it's Christ who bore us in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The source of love is God. For God so loved us. The extent of that love, it reaches out to the world. Friends, it reaches out to you right here in your seat tonight. The sacrifice of that love is only Son. Who could give their only son or their only daughter for an enemy? No one. No one. And the results that whosoever believes will not perish, but will have eternal life. Don't you want that tonight? Oh, I trust you do. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were without strength, it said in verse 6, when we were helpless, when we were hopeless, when we were hellbound, Christ died for us, friend. What a Savior. We looked at the need of it. We looked at the fact of it. But look at the order of it. Acts 10:43 says that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Friend, would you like to know tonight that your sins are forgiven? It's simple. Just receive. Be willing to admit you're a sinner and come and ask for forgiveness. You'll never experience a joy like that. Acts 13:38 says, through this man, Jesus, say something about that name. It speaks unto you the forgiveness of sins, the need of it, the fact of it, the order of it, and all to have the possession of it tonight. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven. See, you can know tonight. You can pillow your head tonight and know that your sins are forgiven. What a joy, what a peace you could have tonight. But then not only is salvation through that name, not only dignity, power, and salvation, but I want to say tonight is life obtained through faith in that name tonight. These things are written unto you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. Through his name. You see, it's the only person who could give you life tonight is Jesus Christ. Do you have it? Do you have that life tonight? Oh, I trust that you won't leave here tonight until you know that you have that life. It's glory associated with that name as well, isn't it? I want to tell you, he had glory at the beginning of his life when the angel said, the glory of the Lord shone round about. As I said this morning, that hadn't happened in hundreds of years. The whole heavens lit up as the angels proclaimed his birth. He had glory at the beginning of life. He had glory at the commencement of life. When the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He had glory at the middle of his ministry, didn't he? And the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember up there and Peter and Moses and Elijah appear. Peter says, Lord, let's make 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. God says, I'm not going to have that. My son's going to be first. And he spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. And whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You've had the law, Moses. You didn't listen. You've had the prophet Elijah. You didn't listen. It's my final one I'm going to send. Hear him. Listen to him. He had glory in the middle of his ministry. He had glory at the close of his ministry. He says, Father, glorify thy name. And a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And he glorified it through his death and burial and resurrection. He had glory at his ascension. Why they beheld him. What a sight as he went up through the heavens. He had glory at his, he's going to have glory at his second coming, I can tell you. He's coming the same way he went up in the clouds. And he's going to ascend gloriously. He says he will return with power and great glory. And friend, I've got news to tell you. He's going to have glory throughout eternity. He says again, I remind you of that verse because every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. And we'll sing that song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. to receive power, riches, strength, wisdom, honor, glory, and blessing. He's going to receive it throughout eternity. But I want to tell you tonight, his promise is wrapped up in that name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, that's simple tonight. You could do like that publican of old. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. His promise is wrapped up in that name. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He's never broke a promise, and he never will. And in Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all your need, all by Christ Jesus through that name. And the greatest need this world asks tonight, as I said at the commencement of the message, is forgiveness of sin. He's asked he can supply that need tonight, if you'd be willing to receive it. And let me say tonight, as we're bringing the message down to a close, it's victory guaranteed through his name. You could have victory tonight over your sin. He's the only one who can do that. Luke 2:22 says they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They brought him to a place where God had put his name, where the presence of God was. And you have to notice the poverty. Two pairs of doves, not even an expensive lamb. No wonder Paul could say, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. How rich was he? You've heard me say it before, he owns everything. How poor did he become? Just look at Bethlehem. Born in a borrowed home, and that's a stable. A borrowed crib, and that's a feeding trough. You want to know how poor he became? Go to Gethsemane. And he's on his face, and he's sobbing, oh, my Father, if it be possible, is it any other way a sinner could be saved? Let this cup pass from me. But friends, heaven was silent. There was no other way, and he said, not my will, but thine be done. That's how poor he became. But friends, if you really want to know how poor he really became, I point you to the cross tonight, where everyone had forsaken him, even his God. And God places my dirty sin and yours on his perfect, innocent, pure Son. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken? He became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich, rich with his salvation tonight. Do you have it? Do you have it tonight? I trust you won't leave this building until you know that you have it. Friends, I don't know what's keeping you from trusting the Lord tonight. As I said, another year is almost gone. It could be pride. Could be some sin in your life. I don't know, and I really don't want to know. It could even be that you might say, hey, look, I don't know if I'm one of God's elect. God wills me to be saved, I'll be saved. If he don't will me to be saved, well, I'll just be lost. You know, Dwight L. Moody said that God knew that men would stumble over that truth on election. D.L. Moody says, after the Lord Jesus was in heaven, probably 30 to 40 years, he came down and he spoke to John, and he's on the Lord's Day, and it's on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, John, I got something for you to write to the churches, write. And John began to write, and his pen flew, and it got down to the last chapter and almost the last verse. He says, John, Just before you finish, John, I have one last invitation, John. Write. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, John, let him take up the water of life freely. Friend, tonight, the Spirit has been striving with you many a time. He says, come. You've heard the gospel again tonight. And he says, he that heareth, come. And he says, he that is athirst, come. How many times have you tried those broken systems? And you've been through them, and you try to get something good out of it from the world, and they failed. Says they mocked me, the writer could say, as I wailed. But the writer says, now none, you see, but Christ can satisfy. The one we're talking about tonight. None other name for me. There's life. There's love. There's lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. Whosoever will tonight may come. Will you come? Let's pray. While our heads are bowed in the quietness of these moments, friend, tonight, as I said, it's almost another year gone and you heard the gospel over and over. Many people, millions of people have stepped out into eternity tonight, this past year. And I wonder how many are going out into eternity without a Savior. Some have gone from here, and I pray and hope that everyone left here this year is going to heaven. Friend, if you had been one that had been called, death had knocked on your door this past year, where would your soul be tonight? It'd be one or two places. Heaven, where it's pleasure and joy forever. Or in hell, where it's torment forever. Friend, God's been good. God's been merciful. God's been gracious another year. I pray right while you're seated. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to come forward here tonight. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he'll save you. If you really mean it, he'll save you tonight. Let's pray. Father, we realize it's not by might. It's not by power, but by your Spirit. Spirit of God, we know that you're here. We know that you're speaking. Maybe you're speaking for the last time. Oh, Spirit of God, we pray that they will not leave tonight if it's one here until they know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me just sing one verse of that hymn, 268 in the Redemption Songbook. Just the first verse in the chorus. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Don't you want to come home tonight? Aren't you tired of your sin? The path of sin, too long I've tried. Lord, I'm coming home. Oh, we trust that'll be your prayer. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Friends, he's got them open. If you will come, Lord, I'm coming home. Friends, if we could help you. Brother Frank's here, Brother Ruddy, Brother Morris, many other sisters here. We wouldn't mind staying with you all night. It could be the most blessed Christmas you've ever experienced if you would let Christ into your heart tonight. The first verse in the chorus, and the meeting is going to be over. Thank you so much. You've been such a good audience.